We're going to be looking at starting to paddle. Remember, if you've been a Christian for many years, then this is just a remembering. If you've been a Christian for a short while, you're probably still going through it. And if you're still deciding, this is what you've got to look forward to. And if I don't trip over that cable, it'll be a miracle. Thank you, Peter. I'm sure there are people here that have got favourite Bible verses. Shout out a few Bible verses. Psalm 27. Wonderful. John 8:36. These are great ones to note down because I don't quite know what that one is, but it's a great one. Anything else? Isaiah 14:9-10. These probably mean something so specific to the people that are calling them out. Any others? Psalm 139:14. I'm surprised that the Bible verse hasn't been mentioned yet. John 3:16, the most amazing Bible verse ever. There are some wonderful Bible verses. Bible verses that you can hang your hat on. Bible verses that your whole faith is based on. For me, it's Malachi 3:10. And when you read it, you think, how on earth can you base your faith on that? If you want to know, I'll tell you. Wonderful Bible verses. The Bible is filled with amazing Bible verses. But there are some that are not quite as nice. Some slightly scary Bible verses. So let's look at some nice ones first. John 3:16. For God so loved everyone in the world that he gave his only son. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast your burdens onto Jesus. If you've got a burden, cast it onto God. If you haven't got a burden, tell me your secret, because I'm sure you're weird. Cast your burdens onto Jesus. Don't be anxious about anything. Hang on, we're British. We love being anxious about things. We queue up to be anxious. Don't be anxious about anything, but give it to God in prayer. Ephesians 2:8, it's by grace you have been saved. Nothing you can do can save you. It's all God. Wonderful. When you're really struggling, when times are tough, Matthew 11:30, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you're struggling, you're not giving it to God. He will take away your burdens. My yoke is easy. They're the nice ones. So let's look at some not so nice ones. Luke 9:32. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily and follow me. We all know what cross is meant here. Not a nice Bible verse. Denying yourself. Consider it pure joy. Well, that starts quite nice. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, not if, when you face trials. That one could have been left out, surely. Hebrews 12:6, the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and he chastens the ones he calls sons and daughters. If you're a son and daughter of God, he will discipline you. Excellent. Matthew 10:22. You will be hated by everyone because of me. Brilliant. Wonderful Bible verses. Because God was hated by the world will hate us because we preach something that's completely different. Most of us would have become Christians because of the first set of Bible verses. And it's only when you become a Christian that you find the other ones. And you think, really, is this where I want to be? Last week we looked at the cost of being a disciple. It costs so much to be a disciple. You have to surrender everything to death to become a disciple. They're difficult instructions. To be fully surrendered, we looked at this last month, to fully surrender our desires, our passions, our wills, everything we have to God's will. That's something we don't like doing. To obey, to be completely obedient, even to that person down the street that nobody really gets onto, You're supposed to love them. To obey, to give up your rights, and to hand them over to God. Last week we looked at being on the shore and looking out. We heard it a couple of times where people were saying, I've seen that other people are Christians and thought, should I go down that road? Sitting on the beach, looking out and thinking, do I want to be a Christian? And today we're looking at taking our first steps, dipping the toe into the water, starting to paddle. So why do we start to paddle? Took this picture just behind Morrison's in Erith. Beautiful. The Thames has changed so much. But when you see that, don't you want to kick your shoes off and take your shoes and socks off and roll your trouser leg up and start to paddle? To feel the sand in your between your toes and to feel that water on your feet. I just want to take my shoes off now watching it on the screen. I just want to. It's enticing. It's something amazing about going for a paddle. It's amazing because everyone can do it. You don't need to know how to swim. You're only 3 inches, 4 inches in. You don't need to know how to swim. Everyone can do it. No training, no special skills. It's just nice. That first feeling. I don't know if you're like me, but as you're approaching it, I start to breathe in. And it's, I'm not even there. But it's the anticipation that when you go in, it's going to be cold. But it's going to be lovely. That first feeling of being a Christian as well was wonderful. It's safe. It's very unlikely you're going to get attacked by a shark in that water. Very unlikely. It's safe. You're in control. You can walk out a little bit further if you want to. And if not, you can walk a little bit in. You can stay away from those children, you know the ones. The ones that might splash you if you get too close. But you're in control. And you can do it at your own pace. And the best bit about it, you can always see your beach towel. You can always see the ice cream man just a little bit down the road. And if you get bored and your toes get blue, you can come back in. And you get the safety of your own beach towel and a nice ice cream. Wonderful. What on earth am I talking about this for a sermon? A lot of people have this as their Christian life. A lot of people are spiritual paddlers. Just go out a little bit and then quickly come back. I don't want to get too deep. It might be a bit scary. Many Christians, not just today, but also littered in the Bible, are spiritual paddlers. And we're going to look at these 5 points for our spiritual life. And hopefully, you'll look at these and think, well, that's not me. Hopefully. But you may think, oh, that sounds a little bit like me. And I've been a Christian 20 years. One of them is me. And I've been a Christian for a long time. So let's look at spiritual paddling. Everyone can do it. Paul was frustrated. You read it in his letters. He used to be so frustrated. And to the letter in Corinth, he was frustrated because these people had received the gospel. They knew what it meant to be a Christian. They had received the grace of God. They had acted on it. And then they did nothing about it. They stayed where they were. They were spiritually paddling. They were happy. They were content. They didn't want to move forward. Paul wrote in Corinth, he wrote this. I should not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. Mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarrelling among you, are you not of the world? Are you not acting like mere humans? That's a strange phrase at the end. We're not meant to be mere humans. We're not meant to be like everyone else. When we're a newborn, we like milk. Steak and chips just won't do for a newborn baby. You might have a go, but gumming a steak is quite hard. You don't do it. You start with milk, and as you grow, you can go on to different things. Had a chuckler in the front. It's lovely. But you can't. You can't just jump in and be everything you want to be on day one. You have to work up to it. And as children, we start off with milk, but we get bored very quickly. And as we grow, we need more. We need sustenance. We need real food, steak and chips. So why do we do it in our spiritual life? Why can we sometimes spend years and years and years just drinking spiritual milk? The stuff that we were doing when we were first Christians. I remember thinking probably 15 years into my Christian faith that I had got no further than I was 6 months into my Christian faith. I'd got so far and I was happy there. And I would just come to church and didn't really go any further. When we start coming to church, we can learn very quickly to stand up and sit down at the right places, to say the right things, to hug the right people and look like Christians on the outside. But it's until our hearts change that we really become Christians. I remember the very day, the very words that were spoken that made me change from being a church attender to being a church Christian. There's a chap called Roy Crown. I don't remember the day, the time. I don't even remember where we were. But he said, if going to church and believing in Jesus makes you a Christian, then the devil is the best Christian around because he never misses a service. And I thought, that's me. All I'm doing is I'm going to church. And I'm not going any further. Everyone can spiritually paddle, but that's not what we're called to do. Paul was frustrated with the people in Corinth because they were content. We should desire to be more than we are today through the power of God. And we should wonder in a month's time why we haven't changed. We should be growing as Christians. Everyone should be going a little bit further out. That feeling, do you remember? We've just been speaking about that feeling when you first became a Christian. I really do remember the pain in my face. And I remember people at work saying, what is different about you? And I would tell them immediately, without a thought, I would say to them, I found God and I go to church. And they would think I was so weird, but I wouldn't care. I used to come home from work and I would go upstairs. I used to live with a chap called Duncan. I used to live in his attic and I would immediately come home from work. Sometimes I didn't even eat, but I would go upstairs and I would spend an hour or 2 hours studying the Bible. And as a new Christian, there was only one book and that was Revelation. And I spent about 3 months in it. Starting off easy, spiritual milk, Revelation. But reality started to take over. Time started to disappear. My 2 hours turned into half an hour and sometimes just watching telly. We get busy. God is put on the shelf next to the Bible that never gets taken down. I saw a recent time study which I thought was quite funny and I thought I'd share it. An average working day for an average working person. Sleep, 8 hours. That includes the 2 hours staring at the ceiling, getting up 3 times in the night to go loo. That includes all of that, 8 hours. 9 to 5:30, 8.5 hours. If you work in London, 2 hours travel. Eating, 1 hour, I spend a lot more than that. In fact, I don't, I eat so quickly. But 1 hour eating. Watching television, I thought was a long time. But when I looked at myself, I thought, well, maybe sometimes, 2.5 hours. A new thing that was added recently, tech time, playing on smartphones, playing on games, Game Boys and laptops outside of work, 1.5 hours. grooming, getting dressed, cleaning your teeth, having a shower, an hour. So far, 24 and a half hours a day. But we haven't done anything else about Christianity. We haven't done reading the Bible. We haven't done time in prayer. Another study, a Christian study in America, said that the average Christian spends 17 minutes a day with God. That's the whole lot. That's reading the Bible. That's time in prayer. That's listening to worship music. I spend more time drinking tea and coffee than I do that. 17 minutes for the average Christian. The feeling we once had starts to fade. And time eats into it. The world and its pressures and its demands start taking over from what we thought was never going to end. We may be in the world, but we are called to be heavenly focused, not worldly focused. Matthew says this: do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust and vermin can destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not steal and where thieves do not break in and steal. I'm going to shock you here. Watching Emmerdale will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. But we do it. Where is our time being spent? That feeling that we once had. Let's try to get it back. Where are our treasures? Are they in heaven? Or are they our car, our house, our family? It's safe. Paddling in the water is nice and safe. You can see your toes. You can see everything around you. It's safe. You can walk out as far as you want. But is safe good? In regards to following Christ, there is no such thing as safe Christianity. True Christianity is not for wimps or the faint-hearted. Do you want to give up just the easy bits to God? Do you want something that won't cost us very much? We're happy to be Christian as long as religion fits into my lifestyle, or as long as I don't have to make too many adjustments. I give you everything, Lord, as long as I can keep this. The obvious answer to these is no, but many Christians still live like it today. I look around here and I know that that doesn't include any of us. Woohoo! We're a wonderful church. This same Christian survey said that 87% of Christians live what is called lifestyle evangelism. And I'm sure some people have heard that. But others may not. Lifestyle evangelism is living a good life on the hopes that the person who doesn't know God will see something different in us and become a Christian. Well, there are some really, really good Muslims. There are some great Hindus living good lives. We're not called to just live nice lives. We're called to tell people about God. We're called to take up our cross. We're called to follow Jesus in everything he did. We're called to deny ourselves, deny our rights, deny everything that we hold dear in preference to God. And we're called to do that even to death. If that survey from America is right, that means 13% of Christians talk about their faith. That's a really worrying statistic. We're called to life. We're called to bring life to others. We're not called for a safe life. We've spoke a lot about this over the last couple of months, but control. We paddle because we can keep control. Most people like control. We like control in certain situations. We like to know what's going to happen. We like to know the situations that we're going to be facing. We like it if we've got the skills that can fix the problems. We don't like relying on others, and we like the security of something familiar. Oh, I don't like change. If you've ever sat as a passenger with a learner driver next to you, you know what it means to give control. It's a little bit scary. As your car starts veering towards the parked car coming, and you just have to creep it back. That's what we're called to do. We're called to give our control over to God. But he's a good driver. He knows where he's going. Living in our own strength is safe because we're in control and needs very little faith. We're called to hand over control to God. And that's a much bigger step. We spoke last month about surrender and obedience, which is giving up the control. But we're called to go out of our comfort zone. We're called to be deep water Christians. We're called to be obedient, to do something new, to do something we don't want to do, because that's what God's asked us to do. We're called to read the Bible. But reading the Bible is useless if you don't do what it says. Read and do. And we're called to talk about our faith. So on Monday, if you work, when someone says, what did you do on the weekend? Don't say, it was quiet. Yeah, it was nice. I had a nice weekend. Tell them. Tell them I went to church. See what they say. Really scary. Pray for someone. Take it really out of your control. Take it really out of your hands and put it into God's hands. Pray for someone. Romans says this, very famous. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is our true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. Do not be the same as everyone else. But be transformed. Let the control of God overtake us. And the last point is easy to return. When you're paddling just 6 inches in, it's only a little few steps to come back out into your comfort. I said that I've been a Christian a long time. And one of these was me. This is it. I have an accountability group that we meet quite regularly. And I told them about something that I started to slip back into, and that's anger. I had a problem years ago where I would get annoyed walking in London in rush hour and someone would walk in front of me. Perish the thought that someone would walk in front of me in rush hour in London. But they did. And they kept doing it and I kept getting annoyed. And for a year, over a year, I've been free of that. I really have. But over the last couple of weeks, maybe a month, I felt it starting to creep back. And I've just let it happen. And saying it to my accountability chums and saying it to the church, you can hold me accountable for that. The next time you see me, ask me, am I getting angry? And if I am, I'll have to tell you. I'm accountable to you. I've given my accountability for that to you. If you're not in an accountability group, do it. It's good. It keeps you in check. It makes you not return to your old ways, not return to the comfort of your beach towel. The Bible says in Romans, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. We're crucified to Christ. How can we return? We cannot return. We're crucified and we have died to our old ways. And 2 Corinthians says this, therefore I am a new, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone. It's not just there, it's gone. The new has come. We're called to be deep water Christians. Are we still paddling in the shallows? Are we still with our toes in the nice water? Or have we really launched out and given full control to God? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for that feeling I once had when I was 17, when I realized that you loved me, when I realized that the King of Glory had set me free. Thank you for that amazing feeling that I know will probably never return the same, but it will be different. But help me never return to what I was before that. Help me never return to the ways that I used to practice. Help me always look forward, always stepping out, always giving you more. Let my life be a living sacrifice that you will be glorified. Amen.